Welcome to Bench Boost Boys mid-game week 26 report in Kane We Trust. I am your host, Gav. With me this week, special guest host, Ben. How are you, Ben?
I'm well, Gavin. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, look, you're very welcome, mate. I would say big boots to fill, filling in for Scott, but I'd be lying.
Size six. Very small boots.
At a push. Scott is not here. As promised last week, he's not here. So
finally shipped him.
Anyway, a quick bit of admin then. So this is, as I just said at the top, the mid-game week 26 report. It's a shitload of games. I think 17 fixtures in game week 26. So we thought we'd do a show today where we just absolutely rip the piss out of Scott. Run down how we're going for the first half of the game week, and then a little look towards the remaining fixtures, and then maybe some further thoughts after that, a little look at the watch list, and then finish up with mailbag. The question comes from a rather unusual source. Okay, Ben, do you want to give us a rundown? What's going well for you?
Yep, halfway through, I triple captained along with the rest of the world, triple captain Kane this week.
Not me.
So yeah,
how's that working out?
Very happy so far. So 18 points from him with the triple captain. The rest of the squad not great, but defense a bit of a saving grace for me. So Martinez with a clean sheet and 3 bonus points in goals, Shaw with another clean sheet, Stones obviously with a goal, not a clean sheet, but 2 bonus points. Rudiger for Chelsea had a clean sheet. And then Son in midfield was another one of my high scoring ones with 11. 2 assists, a clean sheet, and 2 bonus points.
Did you leave much on the bench?
No, nothing on the bench. I had Pope with 1 point, me, who 0 points. Madison was obviously injured, and Suchek with 2 points. So all in all, yeah, 71 points, fairly happy.
You took a minus 8 for your transfers this week, but even with that, you're well above the game week average, which currently sits at 45. What were those transfers to get Kane in, or?
Yeah, so panicked right at the deadline. I was going to risk not having Spurs assets. I had neither Son or Kane, and then right at the last, I was like, nah, it's got to happen. So yeah, Ings and Salah went out for Kane and Son, and then I really fancied bringing in Pereira from Leicester. So yeah, in his last game, he played on the right wing, so I thought Leicester had some favourable fixtures, obviously a double as well.
I'd say it's well worth the 8-point hit, to be honest.
Yeah.
Those Spurs players straight away have paid off for you.
How was your week, Gavin?
Mate, do you know what? I've been brought crashing down to earth. Last week was phenomenal. I was in the top 28,000 for my game week 24, flying on cloud 9. I've been smashed into the ground this week. I'm on 37, which is below the game week average, which is a sad place to be. I could probably just talk about who's done well. Like you, Martinez in goal, clean sheet, 3 bonus points. Clean sheet and a yellow card for Matty Target at Villa, 5 points. A midfielder's clean sheet for Fernandez. I got 6 points for him purely because I captained him. So I did buck the trend. I just didn't back Kane to score against Burnley. Obviously, I was wrong. And so I have got Kane in my team, though. So I did get the 6 points for the goal. 7 points on the bench. Sanchez from Brighton. Dallas leads. Rafinha leads. Creswell won. So pretty shit, mate. But I did only make the one transfer, so at least I didn't take any points hits for that. I got rid of Pope after last week, which actually was a good move because I didn't fancy having Pope and me in my defence for this week. So Pope was out, Martin is in. So, yeah, thank you so much for asking, but it's been a fucking disaster. So, you know, we're going to, when we come back after a quick break, we will talk about anyone we've kind of got our eye on watch list wise. And then after that, we will have a little breakdown of the remaining fixtures, and that'll be me desperately trying to work out how my game week could be salvaged. Like if we're on trend here, so the game week average is 45. So let's put it out there and suggest that the game week average is going to finish up at 90. I've only got to get about 43 points to reach that. So could I do it?
Hopefully not.
Thanks, mate. All right, we'll go to a quick break then, and then we'll check out the watch list. Stick with us. Watch list. Okay, I don't have many names on mine. You've got even less, so you can start.
Yeah, I've just got Azpilicueta for Chelsea on mine. He's averaged 6.3 points per game since Tuchel took over at Chelsea, which is a really good average, isn't it?
He's very clearly, Tuchel's got a different system to Lampard.
Yes.
I mean, I feel sorry for Chilwell. I know you dumped him before this game week started. I dumped him pretty much as soon as I realised Tuchel didn't like him. I've been watching Chelsea closely just to see if... You know, I felt like Tuchel was trying to figure out where his team was at. You've got Rüdiger in your team. I've mentioned in previous weeks on the podcast that I've got my eye on him because he really at the moment seems to be the only one who's locked in.
He seems to be a golden boy. I think I bought him in at 4.4 and his ownership was really low.
Mm.
And since I've had him, I can't remember what he averaged, but it's good. It's around the same sort of 6.3 per game.
It looks like Tuchel is favouring defence a bit more. So where Lampard wanted Chilwell to just smash the wing and get assists and get goals and stuff, he's opted for Alonso. And after the first game when he dropped Chilwell, he did say in an interview, oh, Chilwell will be needing other games. I needed Alonso here because this team smacked long balls over the top and Alonso's better in the air. I was like, oh, fair enough. But maybe what Tuchel's finding out is the English game is just pump long balls and now Alonso stays there forever, or I don't know. So
the beautiful game.
We invented it. So yeah, Azpilicueta, fair enough. He's been awesome actually in the past in FPL, so maybe a bit of a resurgence for him. Yeah, I shall also keep my eye on him. Thank you. Strange name at the start of mine. Not literally, that's a second name. Gareth Bale. Still very expensive. And I've seen a lot of people say as well, like, the media jumped on it straight away. Is this the real Bale? And well, it's, can he sustain that? Or is it just flash in the pan stuff? As harsh as it sounds. And then I heard Mourinho saying, oh, you know, 100% fit Bale playing in this form wouldn't even be at Spurs. He'd still be at Madrid.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, fair enough. But I don't know. Like, I'll keep an eye on it. They've got him on loan till the end of the season. So as much as he is a lot of money, if Salah, let's say, is just, you know, Liverpool just dog shit and Bale is able to do that at least every other week, why not look at him?
Yeah. And he's obviously performed in the Europa League for Spurs.
Him and Dele Alli.
Yeah, hadn't really got much of a sniff in the Prem. But then, yeah, he obviously smashed it for the first half of this week.
Oh, it was great. I watched the highlights for that game as well, and it looked like the Gareth Bale of old.
Back to himself, wasn't it?
I mean, and it's no secret as well. Everyone knows it. On his day, Gareth Bale is one of the top players in the world. Like, it's actually interesting watching those highlights, seeing how he performed, like how he struck the ball and just going, this guy's actually just making Son and Kane look a little average. Because that's how good he can be. So I'm not going to rush. Keep my eye on him. The other one is a player I had earlier in the season and also did quite well earlier in the season before being dropped, and that's El Ghazi of Villa. I do have this feeling that he's in there because Grealish is injured. But, you know, depending on Villa's fixtures, chuck him in for a bit.
I was unfortunately victim to the El Ghazi bandwagon. Where
you
I jumped on just as he stopped playing.
Him.
Yeah, yeah. Just a little bit too late. And yeah, he seemed to get a bit benched. So
yeah, well, and that's my thing. I do try and, wherever possible, steer clear of players if I'm not sure if they're going to play. Same with people like Foden, Mason Mount.
Yeah,
I'm like, great players, can turn it on, and then you chuck them in your team and they don't play for 3 weeks. Tammy Abraham as well.
They all seem to be in that price bracket as well. Like,
really awkward.
Particularly the midfielders where, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, those are the ones for us to watch. We'll keep it brief this week. You probably need a top up of your milk, so we'll go to a break. And when we come back, we'll look at the remaining 7 fixtures that are left for the game week 26. Bench Boss Boys. Okay, we're back. So, as we said before the break, there's 7 fixtures left of this game week. Man City Wolves is the next one. Man City, they are fucking killing it.
Yep. And I think the whole world are hoping that either Stones or Diaz are locked in for it in their last, I was reading earlier, in their last 14 games that they've started together in the Prem, they've conceded 3, and between the two of them, they've scored 4.
Wow. John Stones is having quite a resurgence.
All those goals have come in a double game week as well.
Wow.
So Stones had 2 in the last, and then they split them this week.
It's funny because we talked about Chelsea before and how, at the moment at least, Tuchel, it seems to be, has just got Rudiger as locked in. For City, I'd say it's Diaz. I had Cancelo in my team this week, and he didn't even play. Pep roulette, as they call it. And in fairness, people like Chelsea and City have got such deep squads that they can rest people when double game weeks come. Stones, yeah, he didn't play every game, but he's really come back at the start of the season. It looked like he was on the scrap heap.
Yeah, because they had Nathan Aki, who was floating in there between there and left back, and then they've also obviously got Laporte.
Kyle Walker has gone a different. Like at the start of the season, it was between him and Cancelo for one of the fullback positions, and then they played them both. So yeah, they're sport for choice. But yeah, from my own selfish point of view, I hope Cancelo plays and scores 6 or 7 goals, a couple assists for good measure, and a clean sheet. That'd be nice.
But you'd back Man City in this.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, I've got nothing against Wolves apart from the fact they beat Leeds the other week. But yeah.
Aguero back as well.
I feel like I say that every other week. And I saw a thing from Pep recently where he said, well, yeah, he is kind of back, but he hasn't really played football for a year.
Yeah.
So he's not just going to suddenly turn up and play. As a side note on that, I think his contract's up at the end of the season. So it'd be interesting to see what he does. Like, injuries can really fuck with your career, especially towards the end. But he's, for a striker's point of view, he's not that old. So there's no reason why he couldn't do a couple more seasons at City, but he literally is at the point where he's not really played all season.
It's not like they don't have the wage budget either.
Yeah, true. But then if they might choose to get rid of him as part of, you know, because of financial fair play.
Yeah.
So they could get rid of him if they're trying to get Haaland in or someone, or Mbappe. The last rumour I heard was that they are going to get Haaland and Messi. Or Mbappe and Messi. I'm like, fuck.
Stop reading the Sun.
Fair point. So yeah, I think Man City will continue on. And now the conversation has turned to, are they going to win the quadruple? I don't really give a shit. But as far as FPL is concerned, if Cancelo could get a few points. And maybe Gundogan as well, please.
Yeah.
See,
we both have Gundogan.
Yeah. And you know what? I said to Scott the other week, KDB coming back could be a bit of a curse. As it happens, if you look at the formations they've played, Gundogan hasn't dropped back into a deeper role. It's been him and KDB kind of playing the same position, left and right side of central midfield. But, you know, KDB is going to get more of the ball.
Yeah, set pieces as well.
Yeah, it's so
those areas where you kind of bank on getting some points.
I just think all the spaces that Gundogan would have found himself in will be filled now by KDB. I'm sure he'll still do fine, but it's not going to be anywhere near that kind of rich month-long form he had.
That was, what a beautiful month that was, though.
Oh, to be honest, like, it must be hard keeping, you know, these superstars happy, but if I was Pep, I'd have probably just kept KDB on the bench for a bit and just let Gundogan carry on. But that said, it's not like they're struggling.
Yeah,
they're gonna win the league at a bloody canter at this rate. Next game, Burnley versus Leicester. Burnley, who actually have defensively done really well this season, have just come off the back of a 4-0 thrashing from Spurs, and they're playing a Leicester who are also in form, but now we're missing basically a 2 talisman and potentially Vardy as well. So Maddison was already out.
Yeah,
Harvey Barnes out for 6 weeks. We've got a mailbag question towards the end of the show, which actually talks a bit more in depth about the Barnes situation. But what do you reckon here?
Yeah, hoping Perrier can provide some attacking returns. For me, like as I said earlier, he's a defender, but Brendan Rodgers is starting him on the right wing.
We get that quite a bit with Stuart Dallas at Leeds as well.
Yeah.
He'll stick him right up.
From a selfish point of view, that's where I'm hoping I get my points from.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Barnes is out, so that's me fucked from a Leicester perspective. But also an opportunity for maybe someone else at Leicester to shine. But I don't know, when you're 3 key guys, like I don't actually know, I should have probably checked this, but I don't know if Vardy's actually going to miss the next match. I know he did take a knock or he got injured. So they're pretty fucked at the moment. They'd already lost Justin. They lost Justin a few weeks ago. So this might be an opportunity for Burnley to take a scalp here. Or it'll be a 0-0 draw.
Leicester were obviously in such good form before this game week as well.
Oh, it's a fucker when you lose your key players. We'll see. Next one, Sheffield United, Aston Villa. So Sheffield United, I mean, they've got to already be making plans for the Championship at this point.
Yeah, I think
they're
fucked. They're there.
They had that, was it about a month ago? They managed to rack up a few wins.
Yeah.
But that I saw...
Well, they beat Liverpool, didn't they?
Yeah, which was huge.
That kind of kick-started a bit of form.
And I know you're a Liverpool fan yourself, but that we then realised...
Unfortunately so.
Well, we then realised a couple of weeks after that there was nothing special about Sheffield United, that anybody could beat Liverpool. But Sheffield United, I saw a thing. I was listening to The Athletic, the Phil Hay show. He does the Leeds podcast for The Athletic. And he made a stark comparison between Leeds and Sheffield United and how Sheffield United had one good season in the Premier League after coming up. And then they failed to actually get players in who would actually tangibly improve on what they already had. And now they're paying for it.
Yeah.
And obviously Leeds-centric, the thing was they need to make sure that they continue. And the expectation is Leeds will get another 3-4 decent players in over the summer. But
I think Sheffield United were a little bit unlucky in the transfer. Like, they signed Brewster from Liverpool.
I thought that was smart.
Yeah.
And me and Scott actually are quite... We did a thing earlier in the season on the podcast where we do Brewster watch, but there was nothing to watch, so we stopped doing it. But we're actually both quite fond of McGoldrick, the striker for Sheffield United, but they just can't get it together.
It's not clicking because they were on fire last year as well.
Yeah, that momentum was awesome. They were playing, Wilder was playing that wild formation. What did they call it? The overlapping centre backs.
Overlapping centre backs.
Oh my God. But it was awesome. But they're having a bad time. Aston Villa, now they had a good result against Leeds, obviously, 1-0 away. Martinez, I feel like the Premier League is peppered with keepers Arsenal have sold who are better than the keepers Arsenal have.
Yeah.
No, Martinez is fantastic. And I couldn't believe he'd been at Arsenal for like 10 years or something.
Yeah.
Just on the bench.
Who did they have? Was it Fabianski?
Yeah,
before?
And he's at West Ham.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Martinez on the bench for like 10 years. Probably wasn't that long. And now he's playing fucking awesome at Aston Villa. So they are without Grealish. But I would still expect them to quite easily turn over Sheffield United.
Yeah. It'll be a good game to watch ahead of blank game week 29, where Villa obviously have a fixture.
Yeah.
Just to see if anyone is performing without Grealish being there.
They're very... I mean, I know it's not always easy to say, but they are being quite cagey about just how long he's going to be out. Obviously, I said earlier in the show during watch list update, El Ghazi might be a good shout. Ross Barkley's in there as well. You know, they've got some good players. Yeah. Obviously, Ollie Watkins up front. But yeah, definitely expect them to win. Then we've got Crystal Palace at home to Manchester United. I saw your comment here. Palace yet to create a single big chance since Zaha's been injured. Wow. They've been garbage. I saw, was it 3 weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago, that game against Leeds? Crystal Palace were awful. Awful. And I think Townsend's a good player. I think Eze is a good player. But really goes to show just how much Zaha means to them.
He literally carries them.
And it doesn't bode well for them either that Zaha's blatantly leaving at the end of the season.
Yeah, but that's huge, isn't it? Yet to create a single big chance since he's been gone.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
What are they doing?
It's terrible. So anyway, I suppose that's a roundabout way to say it. Man United are going to smash him.
You've obviously got Fernandes captain.
Yes, yeah. So, and this was it. So when I was deciding on my captaincy, I just felt weird about, I mean, I was wrong, but at the time I felt weird about Kane and him scoring against Burnley. And Fernandes, although I realised that Chelsea game wasn't going to be easy, and obviously it finished 0-0, I did fancy him to pop up and do something against Crystal Palace because they've been terrible.
Yep.
And often that's the way I look at a double game week with a captaincy pick or even just a player pick where I'm like, do I captain this one guy who's playing against, he's an okay player playing against two crap teams, or do I captain Fernandes because he could easily get 12 points out of one match? And then you captain that and now you've got 24 points over two games, which is, well, more than because you got three in the other one. So yeah. I went for him. So obviously I am hoping absolutely that we'll get that. For you, you've got Luke Shaw, so you want that clean sheet.
Yeah, that's a big one for me.
I take it he'll be able to play. I read this, I mean, me and you talked about this, but I read this afternoon. I didn't get to read the article, but there's a headline saying something about Shaw's got a hearing coming up.
Yeah, so he basically, essentially accused the referee of lying or well, almost match fixing. I'm not sure how you would
so
put it.
So he said that he heard the referee say to Maguire
that he can't give the penalty because of the backlash he would face, even though it went to VAR.
Do you think that's attached to that whole thing about Man United get too many penalties? Because that's what Solskjaer said after the match. He was, and there was with the pundits, there was a real split. Some of them were like, well, actually, it wasn't the pundits. Tuchel was like, I've watched it, that's bullshit, it wasn't a penalty. But then a bunch of the pundits were like, it might have been slightly unfortunate, but when you contrast it against some of the decisions this season that have been given, it's unfair not to have given that.
It's consistent with everything else that's been given.
So Solskjaer's probably got... And the annoying thing is, I can see how that stuff creeps in, especially you imagine the pressure of being a Premier League referee. I can understand how that seeps in, but looking at it from the outside, you're like, well, this stat about how Man United, what this season they've had 3 more penalties on average than the rest of the teams, it's not that many. Like, it's a case-by-case thing.
Yeah. Well, it goes back to the old Fergie time, doesn't it?
Yeah, all that stuff. It sticks, doesn't it? I mean, English football fucking loves hoodoo. You even watch, like, pre-game analysis, particularly from people like the BBC, and it's that they have, like, a fucking trivia section, and it'll be... The last 29 times Man United have played Crystal Palace away, on average, it's ended like this. And they present it as if, well, that's definitely what's happening this time.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's 22 different players, completely different. Like, the circumstances are so different, it actually winds me up. I'm not a very superstitious person. But yes, Man United to thrash Palace.
Anyway, we digress.
Well, that's what we do here, mate. Next game, Fulham-Tottenham. So, Tottenham... Ooh, flying high suddenly.
Yeah.
Fulham have been doing okay, you know.
Their defence has been better of recent.
Yeah, they're not... I mean, I quite like that they got Josh Madger. I didn't expect him to do as well as he'd done. He's got a few goals already. Lookman is... You know, I've talked about a few times on the show since he signed for Fulham. And he's a decent player. Like, he's a midfielder who looks for goal. And they've had a little bit of form, Fulham. I think, speaking from a Premier League perspective and less of an FPL perspective, we might see someone like Fulham creep up and watch someone like Newcastle slip down, you know. But that said, Tottenham are clearly the favourites for this, aren't they? Especially after that win. What will be interesting is to see if Bale starts or how much he plays in this game.
Interestingly, in the last game against Burnley, Mourinho seemed to... He's been criticised for being too defensive. And then he started Kane, Son, Lucas Moura and Bale all in the set as a front four almost.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, like, he seems to be kind of going for it more.
In fairness, I think Mourinho's probably... I mean, I don't know how much he actually sincerely gives a shit, but he's got one eye on the chopping block, really.
Yeah.
They're already talking about that. Who's going to come in for him. So maybe, I don't know, maybe he's decided, well, let's roll the dice. But yeah, I will expect Tottenham to do well in that. Obviously, I've got Kane, you've got Kane and Son. Yeah,
Kane triple captain as well.
Yeah, right.
So huge.
Bit of a double-edged sword for that. Me, I've got Kane, so I want him to do well, but everyone in my mini leagues has got triple captain Kane.
Everyone in the world.
Oh no, fuck me. That's terrible. Oh, well, not much I could do about that. West Brom versus Everton. Now, I mean, Everton have coming off the back of a win. Are they? Are they coming off the back of a win, Ben? Come on.
One nil. Richarlison scored.
That's right.
This morning.
Do you know what? Sometimes I'll look at a fixture like that, and because I'll think of the players I've got, like, I look at the fact that Calvert-Lewin blanked.
Yeah.
It feels like a negative thing. So I'm like, did they actually win? And they did. They beat Southampton 1-0.
My exact thought process then when you said it, I was like, DCL blanked.
Yeah, yeah. We get so deep into FPL. So they came off a 1-0 win. Richarlison got the goal. I like Richarlison. The only annoying thing is I have DCL on my team. Earlier in the season, I actually had Richarlison. He did all right. And James Rodriguez.
Yeah.
But I certainly wouldn't be looking to have Richarlison because he's counted as a striker.
Richarlison, scored 3 in 3 consecutive PL matches.
That's, well, sorry. So he's in form. But, I want DCL to do well for obvious reasons.
Same.
And I don't have any other Everton players. But as far as the actual football goes, yeah, I suppose you'd expect Everton to win that one.
On Everton, defence is obviously clean sheet earlier against Southampton. Lucas Digne seems to be Yeah, he seems to be back fit. Yeah. He's always a threat. So he's another player. I don't have him at the minute, but...
The only thing stopping me with him is just where he hasn't even fit my team, or he's just been injured quite a lot. Like yeah. In, out.
But, I had him at the start of the season. He was just an absolute lifesaver, week in, week out. Yeah. He was just in such good form. Similar to Robertson, where at the start he was just immense.
Do you know what, mate? And talking about Robertson and Trent feels like a lifetime ago.
Yes.
Fucking Liverpool, what a season.
Which segues rather nicely onto the next
last game of the week, which has got to be the biggest game of the week, actually. Liverpool versus Chelsea. So you've got Liverpool, and what's your note here? Salah's last four attacking returns have come against clubs in top four. Chelsea sit fifth. What a caveat. Just
love it.
What a caveat. Yeah, you know, obviously Salah's in my team. I keep doing that thing where I threaten, where I'm like, oh, one more bad performance. Like I'm, you know, like he cares what I think. So Salah last week blanked.
Yeah, so...
Salah in game week 25, what did he do? In 24, sorry, what did he do there? He got a goal. So goal a couple of games ago. Last week he blanked. And in the first game this week...
blanked again.
He's blanked. He got that awkward midfielder's clean sheet where you get a single point for that. Fuck, is he gonna turn it on against Chelsea? Is that whole world gonna go topsy turvy?
Yeah, this is my big thing. Why I took the -8 on the transfers was I just needed to have Kane. I knew I was gonna use a triple captain on Kane this week, so I just thought Salah's the only one who's got to go. And yeah, I didn't think, because Chelsea is so defensive, I can't see him getting the space which he needs. That being said, Liverpool play better against bigger teams.
Yeah, anything's possible. And do you know what as well? Then I look at the fixtures, I'm like, oh, next game week, Fulham at home. And you're like, surely then. But what? I'm just scared at that moment where I go, enough, I can spend that money. I can bring Son back in.
Yeah.
And I get rid of him in the next game, he gets four goals.
That exact scenario happened to me just before Christmas. And yeah, I got rid of Salah, and then just couldn't find a way back into my team, and he was just scoring non-stop, flat out. I was just shipping points. It was devastating.
12.6 million, mate. There comes a point where
once he goes, you can't get him back. It's really hard.
Or do you know what? Maybe it's the time to dump Salah and bring in De Bruyne. De Bruyne might get a couple of games under his belt, back to full fitness. Man City in form.
That's what I did around about Christmas time. I brought De Bruyne in and he just didn't do anything.
I know. He's had a weird... Do you know what? He's had a strange season, because he's actually scored a lot of points, but by his own reckoning, it's been weak. Obviously, he's had injury problems here and there, but he's been back now for the last three games. Well, the three games ago against Everton, he did 10 minutes. 62 minutes a week after. His first full 90 minutes, he got 8 points against West Ham, and that was the first of Man City's games in this game week. So now, that might actually be really good timing, and they've got Wolves next. So, there's a little tip for your listener. Fuck off Salah and get in KDB. And if it goes wrong, we'll blame Scott, because Scott's not here. All right, so that kind of wraps up the rest of those fixtures. So what we'll do then, we'll have a quick break, and then we'll have a little tentative look forward to what you might think of doing. It almost feels a little early for game week 27, and then we'll have another break and finish up with a mailbag. Does that sound like a fabulous plan to you, Ben?
Fabulous.
Bench Boss Boys. Okay, welcome back. So, Ben, very, very tentatively, with half a game week to go, why don't we talk very, very loosely about what we might do for game week 27?
Yeah, seems so far away.
And yet so close. I think it literally kicks off on Saturday. We're going to spend a transfer? Going to do anything?
Yeah, so I took the -8 this week, so I probably should roll one if I don't have to, but... You know what I'm like.
what might your team look like then? What's going on?
So, yeah, my team I think will set up quite straightforward. Martinez in goals, Stones with a double fixture, Perrier against Brighton, Rudiger against Everton, Fernandes, Son, Gundogan with a double fixture, Suchek, Bamford, DCL, Kane captain against Crystal Palace. Really fancy that.
Yeah, feels logical.
Yeah, even with City having a double fixture, they're playing United. It's a derby. Anything really goes in those games. From a Prem perspective, not necessarily an FPL. But yeah, so I just think Kane against Palace defence, I really like that. Yeah, I've got Maddison on my bench, who's obviously injured at the minute. I don't know whether I'll transfer him out. There's no one whose fixtures are in that price range who I really fancy bringing in.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've got Pope on my bench, who sits there at 5.5 mil. So I think my goal is to transfer him out for Sanchez from Brighton.
So it might be a good week to do that.
Yeah. So he's obviously got a fixture in the blank game week 29, whereas Martinez, I don't think, does.
Perhaps not.
probably should have looked at that. Yeah, but yeah,
He does have a fixture in game week 29. They're at Villa at home to Tottenham that week. So they are in the blank game week 29.
Okay.
So,
I'll probably do that transfer anyway.
Well, you'll free up about a mil, right?
Yeah, or get rid of Pope. Anyway, he's a great keeper, but yeah, 5.5 mil. Martinez is doing the job for me. I don't really need that to sit on the bench. So yeah, free up a mil and a half. And
actually, that reminds me, Scott kind of had what I called an intervention with me last week, where he said, as I've played my bench boost,
this triggered it for me. Yeah. I looked at my bench and I was like, what am I doing?
Yeah, I've just got really used to that. Like, and I think I look at it like, oh, but if someone gets injured, at least I've got a good person coming in. But he's kind of right. Now I have played my bench boost, do I need expensive players? Maybe I should just be going for the Tyrick Mitchells and the Barry Douglases on the bench to spend a bit of money elsewhere. Clearly, I haven't acted on that yet. And at the moment, the way I'm looking at it is, for game week 27, I probably will have a 3-4-3. This is before any transfers. My only guys with multiple fixtures are Cancelo and Gundogan. So, and one of those, as you say, is a Manchester derby, and who knows what might happen there. But I'm kind of thinking at the moment it will be Martinez and goal, Dallas, Cancelo, Target, Gundogan, Fernandes, Salah, Rafinha, and then Calvert-Lewin, Kane and Bamford. And like you, it feels silly not to captain Kane against the mighty Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
And that will leave Sanchez, me, Creswell, and a little unknown Leicester midfielder called Harvey Barnes on the bench for obvious reasons. Now, according to FPL, he's out injured and not going to be... Well, we know he's injured, but he's not going to be back until the 10th of April, which is over a fucking month away. It's like 6 weeks away.
You cannot hold him.
No, well, there's that worry as well. And this, I know this spooks Scott a lot, like the idea of hanging on to a player who you know everyone's going to dump and their value's going to crash.
Yeah.
And you're going to lose money out of your squad value. Doesn't always work out like that, but you'd be forgiven for worrying that way with Barnes. So with that in mind, I probably will get rid of him. Now, I'm going to save the info for after the break because our mailbag question talks pretty much exactly about that problem. So we'll have an opportunity to dig into that there. But you reckon so you might use your one free transfer this week to get rid of Pope, bring Sanchez in.
I'm happy with my starting 11. So I just think, yeah, it'll just be a pure tactical change on the bench.
Unless, of course, in these remaining seven fixtures of game week 26, something awful happens, like one of your players gets really injured.
Yeah, now I've said that.
You've cursed
it. It's almost guaranteed that I've taken the -8 and Kane, you know, hobbles off pitch.
Just to say on that note as well, that is half a reason why we've gone for a mid-game week 26 report here, because I think I'll be back on this Friday to do... On my own, probably.
Can't afford me.
No, you're too expensive. We can't have you more than once a week to do perhaps a little bit more of a roundup of how we, probably you, me and Scott, I'll do it. I'll take one for the team, how we actually ended up getting on in game week 26. And then it'll be a little update about anything that has happened injury-wise, any news. It'll just be a little short show, maybe 20 minutes, 25 minutes on Friday, just to kind of wrap that up, because that is always a worry. You do a show so far out from a next game week or while there's fixtures yet to play. We have that some weeks as well when there's European fixtures, and often I quite often forget about those. And then someone gets rested or they get injured or worse.
What, they'd die?
Yeah. Could happen, mate. Could happen. And then it fucks up your entire game week. So, yeah. All right. I think that pretty much encapsulates what we think we might do right now. And then you can just do a Scott and triple captain Pope and not make any transfers. And just or lie. Just lie.
Just lie to these listeners. These
beautiful listeners. Both of them. All right. Let's take a quick break then and we'll wrap up the show with the mailbag question. Are you ready for this, Ben?
I'm ready.
Let's do it. Hey, Ben.
Hello, Gav.
Guess what?
What?
Mailbag time. This week's question. You did, didn't you? This week's question comes from a bloke called Scott, manager of Lallana. Hang on a minute.
Sounds like a dick.
If you listen to the show, you know he does. It's Scott, who's currently away and couldn't host tonight. He sent us a question. What a nice guy. And Scott, and if you have been listening to the entire show, we've probably foreshadowed enough. You know what the question is. Best Harvey Barnes replacements. And he wants us to particularly consider the blank game week 29, which I don't think I have. So You're going to get the answer you're going to get. You get what you get. You don't get upset, Scott. So we put a bit of thought into this. And, you know, if you were going Leicester like for like, Madison is maybe not fit. So we kind of went, you know, if you did want another Leicester guy, Tielemans, 6.4 mil, a bit cheaper.
Yep.
Not as prolific.
Just scored in this game week, though.
Yeah, I like him. Not necessarily... Well, I've always found that midfield is so fucking stacked in FPL this season that you see these guys in the peripheries. Like, it took me weeks to get Rafinha in. And the only reason I got him in was because Leeds were on a double game week. We're spoilt for choice. So yeah. It's really fucking hard. You have a bunch of elite midfielders and then you chuck in, you know, a Harvey Barnes, or you, I don't know, try and spend that money somewhere else, but everyone knows midfield's where it's at. So Tielemans, if you do want at Leicester, like for like, one that I fancy, not like that, is Jesse Lingard for West Ham. In the short term, one caveat is that he's playing Leeds next week.
Yep.
But then after that, the game's against Man United, and I'm 95% sure he can't play against his parent club while he's on loan. So he probably can't play against Man United.
But another caveat, he does have a fixture in 29.
There you go, Scott. So there you go.
Have that, Scott.
So I'm thinking right now, Lingard's the guy for me. I think I'm going to get rid of Barnes. I'll probably make that transfer today and get Lingard in. Play him against Leeds. Obviously, he'll be benched against Manchester United, and that's all right. And then in for the double game week. Other options, if you don't already have Gundogan, I don't know if he's got a... He has got a fixture on game week 29, hasn't he?
So they've got double fixture now.
Yeah.
Sorry, get 27. They don't have a fixture okay. in 29.
So there you go. You might still pick up something in the short term for Gundogan if you don't already have him at 6.2 million. Or Rafinha, 5.4 million. If you want to bring in him in from Leeds.
Yeah, if you don't already have him, he'd be a good option. They face West Ham, Chelsea, but they do have Fulham in the blank.
So there you go. So if you don't have Rafinha and you want to save a bit of money as well, like that might help if you're doing multiple transfers. How often have you been 100 or 200 grand short of being able to make a move?
Frees up that cash, doesn't it?
Certainly does. So my money's on Lingard, though, literally. I think I'll be transferring out Barnes this evening and bringing Lingard in. Do what you want, Scott, mate. Do what you want. And on that note,
as a listener, my mailbag question would have been, I have Madison on my bench, injured at the minute.
What's he sitting at?
What should I do, Gav?
Wow, you're asking me on the fly.
On the spot.
On the fly. Well, FPL, like, I always take it with a pinch of salt when they talk about how injured someone is. Often like Scott says that the press conferences before the game week starts are a good source, but it depends how, you know, depends how cloaked it is with the manager or if they even know. But at the moment, FPL says Madison is 50% chance of playing hip injury. So what I might say is that he is likely not to play game week 27, which is a fixture away at Brighton, but he should be back for game week 28 against Sheffield United. Must be said he doesn't have a game in game week 29.
Yeah.
And then after that, so he's not got a game in 29, he comes back to play Man City in game week 30. So it's a bit rough for Leicester.
Yeah.
Well, and for Maddison in particular.
But Sheffield United is a good fixture. Maybe if I don't necessarily have to get rid of him.
Well, that's the thing as well. And I've been guilty of that earlier in the season, of panicking as soon as someone's injured and desperately getting them out of the team, when I could have looked at it and gone, well, actually, I've got a really strong squad. There's no harm in leaving Maddison on the bench for a couple of weeks.
Which is a good counter argument to Scott's point of, do you need a strong bench?
Yeah. I mean, if we quickly look at that as well, like for me, money-wise, if my team stays the way I think it will for the following game week, for 27, I've got Sanchez in there from Brighton, 4.5, no problem there. That won't change. I've got Ben Mee, 5.1. No, it's not expensive. Creswell's there at the moment. He's 5.8, so starting to get more spenny. And then Barnes at the moment, who is a bit more expensive, but midfield is always so stacked. But what I could easily do is get rid of Mee and Creswell, or Mee and another defender, like Matty Target, and bring in the 3.9 Tyrick Mitchell, yeah, and the 4 point and the 3 point whatever Barry Douglas, and that's going to give me potentially another 1.5-2 mil to spend somewhere else in the team.
Could be looking at a Harvey Barnes for Son, maybe in that
nearly, but I could do that with a couple of moves if I shaved off, say, a little bit of money from, I don't know, someone else in the team, like, you know, maybe if Salah's form. I'm going to keep Salah for the Fulham game. And I'm saying it now. If Salah blanks against Fulham in their next game, he's fucking gone. I've had it. I've had it up to here, listener. Up to here. And on that bombshell, anything else to add this week, Ben?
That's it for me.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you as a guest host.
Thank you for having me.
I hope you've had fun, or something similar to that.
Something.
Yeah. You can say, yes, I did, if you like, but don't feel any pressure. I mean,
yes, Gavin, I did have lots of fun.
All right, well, I am going to be back on Friday just to do a wrap-up for game week 26 and a little update on any injuries. Ben won't be and Scott won't be.
Scott will be at a karaoke bar.
And that's not even a lie.
That's not a lie, sadly.
All right, well, thanks again. Cheers, listeners. Remember, you can catch us on Twitter at Bench Boost Boys. Join our private league. I think at the top of the show, all the admin, we didn't even get to that. And I'll blame you.
That's my fault.
Shit co-host. Our private league, the code is P2IFBX. Let's get more people in that have got more points than Scott.
Yep, bring it.
He's never getting back to the top of that one, is he?
Bring it.
All right, cool. Cheers, Ben.
Thank you.
See ya.